Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome. I may need to apologize straight out of the chute. I'm a little bit raspy, so just kind of bear with me if you don't mind. Today, I am really excited and happy to welcome Allie Rodriguez to the show. Allie is a business coach. She's a strategist. Well, she's a business coach and strategist passionista, which I love that term. We'll talk about that. She helps professionals fuse passion with profits, monetize their expertise, and create a lifestyle to match. Allie's multilingual and multicultural background adds diversity to her coaching style and to her business and marketing programs. Her focus is on growth, expansion, and bottom-line success. We all need that. Allie is a proud owner of Vision for Success, a global full-service coaching and consulting firm which is dedicated to providing clients with professional, personalized services and guidance in the areas of business planning, strategies, marketing plans, branding, networking, operating procedures, and business overview. You are a busy, busy woman. Allie, good morning, and welcome to the show.
Good morning. You had to catch your breath in that
one. I ran out of breath.
Oh, God. It's a good thing that with me it just comes natural because I love what I do. So, yeah, but sometimes we kind of have to catch a little breath in between. And thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited about this call, and I love that musical introduction. My God, talk about funky music.
Wasn't that great?
It was great.
Did that for me. He said, well, what kind of music do you like? I said, everything but rap. That's not music. And he picked this for me. And I love it. You know, I don't know if it's supposed to be Irish or what it is, but I absolutely love it.
No idea, but I tell you something, it just matches my passionista mood right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, wow. Talk about the melody within, which is something I've been kind of thinking about lately, you know, how do we, or the smile within, how do we think about things that really make us kick into gear from the get-go, and sometimes our quick recollections, and when I hear that music, it's like,
I'll have to ask them what that piece of music is, because I really like it. So you have a great, interesting story, and I would love for you to tell our audience a little bit about yourself before I launch into the 100 questions that I have for you, your vision for success, and I have a ton of questions. So,
it's a good thing.
Tell everybody who you are.
Well, who I am and what I do, I suppose sometimes it's one and the same, and sometimes I suppose it is one and the same. I tell you, I got into the business of coaching, more specifically actually into the field of business coaching, a few years back in the year of 2004. I am located in northern Florida, more specifically in the city of Ormond Beach. It's a beautiful area. However, in the summer of 2004, all of our area was interestingly hit by four different hurricanes. So much was lost by a lot of people, a lot of business people. A lot of businesses were lost, period, because they were devastated. I encountered my own type of losses, which is really neither here nor there. At the time, it was when it was time to reconstruct and rebuild, and how do you help people get back on track. It just hit me, you know, when you wake up one morning and you said, this is what I really, really want to do, and then you look back and you said, but wait a minute, in a certain way, I've been doing it all along, but now it becomes more specific, more targeted, and really more passionate, because then you really see the people that you can help. And at the time, there were so many businesses that were the owners, specifically small business owners, that they didn't know what to do, where to go, how to do it. How do you recover? A lot of folks lost a lot of their data. It was just like one after the other. So looking for the ray of sunshine in the midst of what appeared to be like an ongoing storm, it was a huge wake-up call for me to help others. So I'm not shy about rolling up my sleeves and doing what needs to be done because I love and I live in a life that is in the service of others, absolutely.
Yeah.
So for me, it was just like an amazing, amazing wake-up call, and then I became very focused on how am I going to help these people. And that's how this love affair I've been having with business coaching and a lot of other aspects of coaching since the end of 2004. And more specifically, I decided to hang my shingle in the summer of 2005. So that's how it went.
Well, I understand what you're saying about hurricanes. I live in Southwest Louisiana.
Oh.
And when people ask where I live, I tell them that I'm equidistant between Rita and Katrina.
See,
and I'm smack between them, so I understand exactly what you're talking about.
There you go. I didn't realize where your location was, but there you go. Mm-hmm. So it really is. Sometimes it is adversity that we get inspired to do other things that are definitely going to be in the service of others, or even in the service of the greatest good.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that
I think what happens is people oftentimes when they're faced with either partial or total devastation, they have to do something different. They have to. You don't have that old lifestyle to go back to. And I think a lot of people, not a lot of people, but some people will become what I term an accidental entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
They will say, well, like you did, you know, I'm not going to do what I used to do. I'm looking at things differently now. I'm looking at my skills differently. And I'm going to pick up my little, you know, pieces of broken stuff here and go on. So I do think it does happen. Sometimes nobody wants to lose their home. Nobody wants to lose their neighborhood or their city. But, you know, if you have the will and you have the help and compassion of other people, you can do remarkable things. And it sounds like you really have gone out of your way to do remarkable things for other people.
It is a call. You know, it is such a call that it's almost like when you have a phone ringing and you keep on ignoring it, and eventually you hope that whoever is calling hangs up.
Right.
But it's one of those rings that it never goes away, and it gets louder and louder. And that's what it was for me. I was in business before this happened, from a different angle, actually. In South Florida, I was in the medical field helping doctors and hospitals with their medical dictation and transcription needs. So I had a complete computerized online business serving several hospitals and private practice from the areas. I was located in Broward County, but I was serving both Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. And I was very, very successful. I had a 24/7 kind of operation going, 51 employees. Because when you're helping the medical profession, you got to work their hours.
Mm-hmm.
So it was 24/7. And looking back, I realized how many times I had doctors that would come to me or hospital administrators that would come to me seeking my advice. How do I do this? How do I change this? Board of directors, all these kind of things. So even when I had this, what I would call a real huge wake-up call to service, in it from a different angle, I realized what skills I had before and all of the people that I helped. So it was like what I'm doing now. It was like I was in training all those years.
Mm-hmm.
So because I had that business for many, many years till, into the 1990s. So it was like, oh, my God, this is something I've been doing, I've been loving, but now it's a different, it's in a different field. But it's a much louder call and serving in a much greater capacity. So can't begin to tell you the sense of gratitude I have for that.
I can imagine. I can really imagine. So, I have a lot of questions about your vision for success. I love that term. I think it's something that we should all keep in mind is our own vision for success. So how does, and let's talk today specifically about what I call online entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people, my history is that I'm a web developer and I own a very successful virtual assistance firm. And I am finding, and again, we're kind of going back to that accidental entrepreneur idea.
Mm-hmm.
I am finding that my practice, my virtual assistance practice and my web development company are busier than ever. There is no recession in our world.
Mm-hmm.
My theory is because people are doing exactly what you're talking about. They're looking at devastation, whether it's financial or they've lost their job or they're going to lose their job or they hate their job. And they're just saying, you know, I just don't want to do this anymore. Whatever it is I've been doing, don't like it, have never really liked it. I'm ready to do something that has to do with my own passion. And I'm hearing that more and more and more from people who have never really been online. But they're going to be entrepreneurs, by golly, and I believe them. You know, I know if they've got that passion, that vision. So what I'd like to do today is kind of focus on people who are coming into the Internet looking to either supplement their income or completely replace their income, which in my case I did, and a lot of people that I know do. So how do people like that who are new to it, but they've been hovering around the edges for a long time, they're ready to jump, how do they find business success in a really uncertain economic market? What do you advise them?
You know what? It's, again, that phone ringing.
There you go.
Because it's not only happened to me, so I can very comfortably speak from personal experience and success in the field, and I've seen it also happen to a lot of other folks. There are three things that everyone needs to do when they hear that phone ringing. It's, one, pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it really ringing?
Act in the moment.
Yep. Is it really ringing, and is it ringing for you? So pay attention. Decide to decide. Pick up phone. Pick up that phone. Make a decision right there and then. Do not hesitate. Do not wait. Do not say this is not the right time or later will be a better time.
There is no better time. Right.
Than the present. And I tell you, because these economic situations that we have had, well, it's been ongoing for a couple of years, but specifically since September of 08, that phone ringing keeps on getting louder and louder.
Mm-hmm.
And the entrepreneur that is meant to do something different with his life or her life is going to hear that phone ringing. I have to make that analogy because to me it's so visual, and I'm a very visual person. And if you really visualize that phone ringing, and not only the ringing is getting louder, but the phone in itself is getting bigger. It's like a bigger instrument. How would you like to have that little cell phone in your pocket or in your personal? It's getting bigger and bigger. What are you gonna do with it, right?
You see
what I mean? See, you got that vision. You got it.
Yeah.
It's like all of a sudden, hey, you open up the door and there's the elephant in the room. And that's the same thing with how do you get into a successful kind of a deal once you answer that phone. Answer that ring, yeah.
Right. And then, of course, there's the fear factor. There's no question about it. Although I do find that people who are truly entrepreneurial in their heart and their soul, and they may be coming a little bit late to it because they've done the grown-up adult thing. They've gotten the job, and, you know, they've got the 401k, and, you know, they've done everything they thought they were supposed to do straight out of college, and now they're like, you know what, I'm going to take my idea, my passion, my love, I'm going to do something with it. So people like that, and I'm actually describing myself here, we don't have any fear. We have cast iron stomachs. We wake up every morning, and it doesn't occur to us that we can fail, and we do. We fail all the time, but we don't stand in a corner and boo-hoo about it. We go, well, that hurt. Get up, dust our butts off, and go on. But there is the fear factor for people who may just not quite have it in their gut yet. So how do you talk with those people? Or do they just have to do it on their own? Do they just have to recognize?
Oh, no.
Once they're there.
You know what? At any given point, again, I have to go back to that analogy of the phone ringing because it rings only for you. It's very unique. It's very personal. It's not ringing for everybody else. It's not ringing for the rest of the family members. It's not ringing for the rest of the team members in an office or in your corporate world that you happen to be in or getting out of, regardless of what the circumstances are. It is ringing for you. It is very, mm-hmm. very specific. Again, you know, answer that ring if it's ringing for you, and only you will know. And we all need a mentor in our lives. Don't go at it alone. Why invest all of your time and all of your efforts when you can have someone by your side making it easier for you? That's the first thing to do to deal with all the insecurities and the what-ifs. The second thing is the fear factor. Actually, it's a good thing. If it wasn't for the fear, you would not know how it would feel like for others, because most of the people that whose phones are ringing just for them, and those of you who are listening, you know who you are. and imagine all of the thousands of people that are going to be listening to this recording later on as this gets disseminated through millions of people throughout the mm-hmm. globe. We can also do this in more than one language. When they hear that particular calling and they know they're ready to answer it, sometimes they get petrified, they get so cold, and they're very, very insecure about, gee, should I really answer it? Well, yeah, you should. However, the fear factor is a good thing to work with, because it can be your friend at any given point. You can actually learn from what does fear mean to you specifically as an individual. Because fear is different for everybody. It really is.
Yeah.
You think about, you know, a lot of people think fear is fear is fear. Well, not really. And it doesn't ring true for everybody. There are a lot of people who think they're unstoppable, and they are. But how do you think they became unstoppable? It's because they knew fear.
Really? I'm having a hard time following that, because I'm not sure I recognize fear, unless I'm creating it in somebody else. But truthfully, I don't think, well, I don't know. I'm going to have to think about this. You've got me thinking. So,
well, that's what coaches
thing.
Do. We got you thinking.
Right.
That's how we unlock your brilliance, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you. I don't consider myself to be a fearful person at all. In fact, if I do have a fear, it's that I don't have enough fear, that sometimes I don't have sense enough to be fearful, which worries me a little bit, but then I just keep on going. But and maybe when listening to you and listening to the kind of subtleties, and possibly what you're saying is fear can be so subtle that we don't even know we're being kind of stymied by it.
It's all of the above. This is why I'm saying fear is also, it's very, very individual. What is fear to one person, it may not be to the next. And like I said, a lot of unstoppable people understand that they have gotten at that particular point, because at one given point or another, and it may go back to, you know, to when they were 2 years old, at one given a point or another, they knew what it felt like to have the lights off. Right? Mm. They knew what it was like to be lost in a crowd.
Right.
And I'm sure it's, you know, I don't know that it's happened to you, but it happens to most people. You know, you get that sinking feeling of, oh, my God, you know, what happened? Where am I?
Right.
All right? Also, fear happens when all of a sudden we may be in the process of losing our own identity as to who we are, what are we doing here, what am I supposed to be doing? How do I get out of a situation? All of that, it could be very, you know, a very low point of fear. It could be, you know, it could go anywhere from 1 to 10, 1 to 1,000. You know, you pick and choose. However, that could be your friend. And actually, as far as I'm concerned, that is everybody's friend as soon as you recognize it and you know what to do with it. And then turn it around and let it guide you. Because sometimes fear can guide you out of a tunnel. It can guide you out of certain situations that, again, you either act or you don't act. If you know, when you said, you know, how do you help others with a fear factor, is recognize it. You know, and every case is individual, of course, but recognize it. What did you do with it at the time when you felt it? How did it work for you? Because it doesn't have to work against you. It does not have to work against you. Many times with fear is actually what can help a person to say, I'm going to overcome this. And we hear all the time.
Right, we do.
The fear of failure or the fear of success, it's fear nonetheless, right?
Yeah, and you may have just hit on mine. Mine is probably fear of failure, so I just don't allow it to come around me.
Well, there you go. And yet, the very thing probably that causes you to have no fear is because you may fear your friend not knowingly. You may have that as a very good companion instead of something that frightens you. Instead of being a shadow, it has actually been someone or something.
Well, it gives me that good, you know, swift kick in the fanny when I need it. I'll give you that much.
There you go.
Yeah.
It gets you right into action.
You're right. I mean, and thank you for coaching me through that because I was really struggling. I feel like I just got a great coaching session here.
There you go.
Well, that was interesting. I am actually going to sit down and journal tonight about fear and find out where my fear is. Is it my friend? Or am I just stupid enough not to be fearful, which makes me fearful? So let's see where I go with that. So let's say that you got somebody, you're coaching somebody, and you've got them past the fear factor where they can actually examine, like I will be doing tonight, whatever fears is that drive me or stop me. And I suspect that, you know, those are the only two choices you have. They either drive you or they just stop you cold. Is that correct, or am I way off?
You're right on target. At times, also, it can propel you to kind of go backward, where you want to kind of start digging, where is this all coming from? And if that happens, careful not to dig too deep, because how is that going to help you? I mean, to me, it's always about, how is that going to serve you?
Right.
You know,
right.
It's okay to analyze and to dig, but if you start going backwards, it could have been a multitude of things. Be sure that whatever that factor is, that is a friend. That is not a shadow that can scare you. Because also there's another distinction in here. Fear is not necessarily scary either.
Right.
And that may not make sense, but...
It makes sense to me.
There you go. Okay. I hope it makes sense to others. Yeah.
Somebody in the chat room is saying most other people live in fear, which I guess she's saying that a lot of people do, that, you know, maybe I don't, I should probably. She also says, my litmus test for whether I should do something or not is, am I a little afraid and excited, because you need both. So what do you say about that?
I can't access, for whatever reason, the link is not letting me go into the chat room.
Okay.
I wish I could, otherwise I'd be addressing the ones that are in the chat room. I'm sorry, repeat the question again.
Oh, she said her litmus test is whether she should do something or not is, am I a little afraid and excited? You need both. And if you aren't a little afraid, you may not be stretching yourself. And if you're not excited, why do it at all?
Oh, you know what? Even if you're not excited, absolutely think about if that phone is ringing loud enough for you. Because once you answer it, trust me, you're going to get excited.
Okay.
It's all about that call. It's all about that calling. It's all about that ringing. It's all about, three of the things that everybody needs to think about when we talk about passion and we talk about excitement. And of course, fear, it sometimes can also be a friend to passion. I'm loving having this conversation because it all falls into this amazing, wonderful melting pot that we call emotions and intuition.
Right.
And this is what I want to address. We all have to use logic. And that's kind of fundamental. However, logic serves no purpose if we have no emotions attached to it.
That's true.
And sometimes emotions can betray us if we don't follow our intuition, which is completely unrelated to emotions. So to me, that's the triad to follow. Obviously, you have to have logic. You have to have your intellect. The other one is you have to have your emotions. And the other one is you have to have your intuition. So how is that going to help you? How is that going to serve you? And you have to think about, yes, okay, I have my logic, I have my intellect, and everybody's different. So it's whatever works for, each one individually, that's what's got to, that's how it has to go. However, fear and excitement, that's a wonderful combination. And if you have the fear, and you don't have the excitement yet, trust me, it will come. Because the minute you start facing that particular fear, you get the excitement of you're overcoming it.
Oh, okay. So you basically have to really pay close attention to what you're thinking and feeling.
Yes.
And monitor that. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Well, once you are past all of that, I'm not sure that we ever really totally get past all of that, but how do you unlock your brilliant ideas after that? Once you've gone through the sort of fear process, can I do it, should I do it, will I do it, why won't I do it, how do you get your ideas out after that?
Once you go through that process, actually, you're going to have quite a bit of ideas coming and going because of you're going to have a sense of pride about yourself that you are facing each and everything that is coming to you. Even if they're coming at you a little too fast, that's all right because you're still, you know, you're dealing with one thing, then you're going to be dealing with the next one at a time. And when that excitement begins to kick in, you're going to have a lot of ideas coming in. So obviously, you got to capture those ideas. You cannot let them go. And I think you and Lisa and I were talking about it
on Facebook.
Yes,
I was just going to ask you about that. We were having a brilliant conversation, fascinating conversation this morning on Facebook about exactly that. And, you know, I was mentioning that I keep a journal by my bedside. Because my ideas come to me. I turn things over to my subconscious for review.
Mm-hmm.
I do this every night before I go to sleep. And I always have an answer, always. But it's always at 3:30 in the morning. I wake up like an alarm went off in my head. And I may either come to my office and work for a little while. I may just write something in my journal.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep a Sharpie next to my bed with my journal so I don't wake my poor husband up. And I will capture those really intense ideas, and that way the next morning when I wake up again, they're not gone and I can actually act on them. And you made a suggestion which I thought was brilliant about the tape recorder, and I'd like for you to share that for our audience.
Because ideas can come and go so fast, I actually use a very small tape recorder that Olympus, I believe it's called Olympus 900, and you can get it at either Office Depot or any of those stores, and it's totally digital and it's really cool. And you can also plug it into your computer, your PC, your laptop later on, and you have all those recordings that you can have on your computer as well as audio clips. So what I do is I keep it, I really keep it right by my bedside, and anything that I get kind of like, oh, my God, this is coming to me, and I actually wake up like it's happening to you. Thankfully, you have like an inner clock that wakes you at 3 o'clock mm-hmm. in the morning. So that is great. I use the recording, and the minute whatever hits me, I speak into it. And when I first started to do it, I was amazed on the playback, the amount of emotion that was on my voice.
Really?
Absolutely. And emotion will always remind you.
Mm.
Emotion is one of the most powerful reminders that the subconscious mind can have. So therefore, you never have to rely on notes or a calendar or things like that
mm-hmm.
because there's so much emotion attached to the voice. When you imagine you wake up in the middle of the night and you just, you know, blurt out a couple of words. You know, and like Passionista, when, you know, where did that come from? Actually, that came to me in the middle of the night as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I
grabbed
my little
recorder.
I did
the same thing.
See? And
just
put it, and I just say, "I'm. This is what I'm thinking, this is what I'm dreaming." And that blurted out. And when I listened to it, there was so much emotion into it, and even though my voice was a little lower pitch than, you know, I would have it in the morning,
mm-hmm.
The emotion, I was totally amazed. So I used that to make a connection to the emotion that made me think of that. And it actually, you know, when you get that happen to you, especially in the middle of the night, most of those ideas are brilliant. You can take him to the bank.
Well, I did. I woke up at 3 or 3:30 in the morning one, 6 or 7 months ago, I guess. And, I mean, I sat bolt up in the bed, ran across the house, went to GoDaddy and bought Virtual Assistance University. I mean, it just, I did. Why that popped into my head, I don't know. But I, you know, I jumped out of bed. I mean, I bought it. There was no thinking about it. I was probably freezing cold. Didn't care. I bought it, and then I went back to bed and went, well, that's done. I didn't know I needed to do it until I woke up.
Exactly. Okay, so you actually do something about it when you, because you wake up and you can't go back to bed.
Well, I'm a cat napper. I never sleep all night. Never have, probably never will. So I sleep in fits and starts. I sleep 2 or 3 hours, maybe 3 at a stretch, but anything beyond that, I just can't do. So I tend to get up and down several times during the night, and I actually go work at 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning. It may only be 15 minutes, but if I have this real need or real impulse to go act on something, I do.
Yeah, that happens to a lot of people. However, you're lucky, and I'm sure you know some of the audience members that are listening to this, we may have a couple of catnappers, like you call them.
Mm-hmm.
And that is great because you can always rest again.
One of my clients is a very well-known psychologist, and he worries about me, I think. And before he got to know me fairly well, when we first started working together, he called me about 6 o'clock in the morning, his time. He's in California. So it was 8 o'clock in the morning, my time. And in his very serious professional voice, he said, Denise, do you ever sleep? I said, no. And my response was, I'll sleep when I'm dead. And I think it really worried him. I had to explain to him that I am a cat napper. So.
Yeah, and that made him more relaxed, right?
He was worried that I was overworking and overstraining myself. Said, no, not a bit. Sleep is for other people. That's not something I enjoy doing.
Yeah, if it comes natural to you, that actually is a blessing. I can see that's your particular phone ringing. It really is. There you have it.
Be awake 18 hours a day. I'm good. So.
Yeah, that's totally amazing. And, if you have a little recorded that, if you act upon it and you get up and you go into your office and you do what you have to do, maybe you don't need it. But if it's one of those
I'm going to try it. I think it's an absolutely brilliant idea because I like what you say about hearing the emotion. I hadn't even thought of that.
Yeah, I tell you, you listen to yourself on the playback, and you're going to be pleasantly surprised. Your voice may be a little bit on the low side, or even if you sound a little sleepy, there is something that happens when the subconscious goes boom that there's so much emotion. There's so much emotion attached to it, and then that becomes like a perennial reminder. You don't really need to rely on your memory to have an instant recall, because the emotion will do the recalling for you instantly, and you will know. You will know the what, and you will know the why. And, of course, the how you live up to somebody else.
Right. And I'm kind of equating the emotion with the sense of smell. You can smell something instantly be transported back many years. I mean, you can smell something and say, oh, my gosh, that smells like Café Lait and Beignets in New Orleans, and you may be in Florida, or you may be in Michigan, but you may get just a whiff of something that instantly, it triggers an emotion and an emotion and a memory in you. So I'm thinking that what you're saying about hearing that passion in your voice and that excitement in your voice is going to do exactly the same thing.
It gives you.
I can't wait to try.
Wait till you try it. It will give you an instant recall. And just like you were saying, because I love New Orleans. I've been there so many, many times. And, of course, Café du Monde is one of my favorite
Café du Monde.
in the world.
That's what I was thinking of, Café du Monde.
I know. When you said that, you put me right there. See, that's the emotion. Because it wasn't so much about the beignets. But the smell of the latte just freshly made when at 7:30 in the morning when it's so cold outside. It's, who cares? You're by the river, so that kind of thing. And that's what that instant recall does for you when you hear the emotion in your voice. I mean, there's so many different ways of doing this, but that, to me, it became very powerful. And it's nice because you have it. It's a tiny little device that you just keep by your bed, and you don't need to worry about pen and paper and what did I do with it. And sometimes we carry around notes and we forget where we put them. So the emotion
absolutely.
In the voice will connect you. It's almost like, like you were talking about smells. You walk into somebody's kitchen and it just reminds you of your own grandmother's kitchen when you were 3 years old. It's just that instant recall. So it is very, very powerful. Absolutely.
Very.
Yeah, I encourage everybody that if they can use it, if they can utilize it, the recording in itself is very small. You can carry it in your pocketbook, and it's digital. It's really cool. It's it's also very modern, and it's highly cost-effective, in my opinion. And that's something you can also share with your virtual assistants, with your team members,
mm-hmm.
with your
mm-hmm.
staff, because since you can download your thoughts, your ideas into the computer, you can share the files.
Right.
Which
right.
is another benefit to brilliant ideas.
Absolutely. I'm seeing Judy Peebles is in the chat room. She's a journaling genius, and I just had a couple of brilliant ideas based on what you're saying. So I'm sending her a note that she must call me after this, because I think you just coached me into a brilliant idea for Judy, who is one of my clients.
Well, there you go, and say hi to Judy. I'm just sorry that I can't get into the chat room. I have tried a couple of times as I'm talking to you, and it lets me, and then it kicks me out again. And so I don't want to be distracted.
I see you coming and going.
I'm not sure what's going on. I'd love to see who all is in there and say hi. But hey, if they can hear me now, say hi to
they
everybody.
They can hear you. Well, listen, we are talking about passion. We're talking about emotion. We're talking about some really great things here. So you are the passionista expert, which is trademarked. I love that term. But tell me more what you mean by passionista, and how did that come to you? Was it 3 in the morning? How did you get that?
I am passion in action. It's who I am. You know, even when you said to me, tell me your story, and I went to, the roots of why I'm doing what I'm doing and who I am, at the end of the day, I'm like a fireball. It's all that simple. You know, because I am passionate in action, always helping people to get benefits out of whatever it is that they do. And I'm passionate about helping people find their dreams. And if they don't have a dream, we'll make a dream. And if dream is not your thing, then follow somebody else's dream, because there's nothing wrong with that either. It's whatever, again, that phone ringing is ringing mm-hmm. only for you. So mm-hmm. I focus on people's uniqueness and again, like a 3 o'clock, another wake-up call, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying to myself, my God, it just rolled out of my lips. I am really, I was working on a strategy for one of my clients' marketing plans that somehow was not including the sales techniques, but just the marketing in itself. And all of a sudden, I found myself saying, well, wait a minute, some of what I'm teaching in here, maybe I need to revamp for myself. And obviously, part of marketing is the ability to communicate who you are, what you do, and who you serve.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, my God, I am a passionista. And it was like from the soul. It just came out like, ah! And I embraced it. And the minute I embraced it, that was it. And then I realized that I am an identifier of people's passion. I am an expert at it. I spend, 10 minutes, 15 minutes talking to you, asking you questions. I can just, boom, go right for the jugular and save you tons of time and money in getting you to do what you want to do, because life is about you. Life is about you. People wake up. It's not about somebody else. It's about you. You mm-hmm. have to make it about you as you do for others. So this is where I realized, oh, my God, I am a passionista because I am a passion identifier. And then I help you just work with it and draw it out. And the next step to what my passion for passion is, if you will, is how does passion serve your business? And then what is your business serving for you? Well, lifestyle, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So at the end of the day, it's all about having a lifestyle that it's going to match what your business vision is, what your business mission is, what your purpose in life is. Why you have family, why you love them, why you hate them, why you embrace them, why you throw them away. It's all about, what is your lifestyle? So it just follows for me that it's my natural sequence, and that's how I help other clients also follow their own natural sequence. of going from passion, fusing it with their sense of profits when they have a business. And even if you're working for somebody else, folks must really own up to the mentality that even when you're working for somebody else, treat it as if it was your own business, you know?
Yep.
And
yeah,
then
absolutely.
Utilize the proceeds, all of that good stuff, all of your profit center, as I call it, is one of my systems. Utilize that little profit or big profit center to serve your needs. Wealth is meant to serve your needs, not the other way around. And create the lifestyle of your dreams, whatever that is. You know, if you want to live in the south of France, I'm going to help you create that dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to help you see to it that you get it. Whatever that is, but
right.
Also about the lifestyle. And that's a little step that sometimes people take it for granted. Well, of course that I want to have this, that, and the other, whatever that is. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
the lifestyle is not so much about material acquisitions. Sometimes the lifestyle is for somebody who wants to do a pilgrimage, to Rome by foot for 3 months from Spain into Italy. And that's part of their lifestyle.
Well, everybody should have their own idea of what it is that they want to do and then set forth and do it.
Yeah, and sometimes you cannot really have a real vision of what you want to do because it's hard for you to picture yourself with a lifestyle.
Yeah,
you know, you hear
I come
people
across
with
that
a life-
all the time.
I'm sorry, say that again?
People that I coach, I have the same issue. You know, or they have the same issues. They're, well, I just can't see me doing that. It's never been, you know, kind of on my list of things that I want to do. I want to do it, but I don't think I can really do it. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, well, see,
that's
you know
so
what?
Disappointing to hear that.
Well, but you know what? Guess what that is?
Fear.
Uh-huh. And you can coach those clients of yours, or even if they're friends or family, into how can we turn this fear into a friend for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the friend doesn't have to stay there forever, but, you know, let's make it into a short visit here rather than to keep on closing the door on it.
Yeah, you don't want them to come for Christmas and never go.
Right. Yeah, but you know what, when you hear those clients say that to you, you know that is fear.
Yeah.
And
even
procrastination, even excuses that we make all the time not to do something, it's the fear of God knows what. It's their own fear, and they need to identify it. And once they
mm-hmm.
identify it, well, let's turn that fear instead of a shadow or instead of something that is on the other side of the door knocking and really making you waste your own time and your own life. How about if we just open the door, let them in, let's face it, and let's sit down and have a conversation and say, you know, how about if we're friends for the next 10 minutes? Yeah.
Have a cup of coffee.
Exactly. Yeah,
and
it's not so frightening. See, that
right.
At that point, you're dealing with fear as an acquaintance, perhaps a possible friend, because it will come back, trust me, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But you will know when to answer, when not to answer, and you are minimizing the scare factor, which is completely different from the fear factor.
Well, I have learned in my life that the more you ignore something that really needs to be addressed, the worse it becomes. It will not go away. It will continue to nag at you. It will continue to cause bigger and bigger problems for you. But if you just pick up the phone and deal with it, or open the door and deal with it, or go outside and kick the snot out of it and deal with it, you're done with it. You can move on. So I find that ignoring things like that is just so detrimental in so many ways.
It allows you for freedom. And you can choose that freedom to be as big as you want it to be, as small as you want it to be,
mm-hmm.
And whatever you want it to be as far as the size is concerned, however you're having freedom of movement. And you have a flow.
Right.
You have a sense
right.
of flow of self, of thought, and it will bring you back in balance with your intuition, your emotions, and your intellect.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great balance. And this is why I keep on saying fear can be a friend. You can make it a friend for as long as you want it to be, because sometimes fear is your balance factor to your logic, to your emotions, and to your intuition.
Right. So how do you help your clients maintain their enthusiasm and their motivation so they keep moving forward to, you know, once they've gotten past the fear and past the procrastination, because we all go with that with our clients? how do you help them maintain that level of enthusiasm that got them to you in the first place?
Always remind. One of the things that I do is remind them as to what gives them a sense of joy. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, and obviously, you know, when we think about having a sense of joy, sometimes that's easy, right? It's easy to think of certain things that's going to make us happy. You know, having a family gathering could be, you know, a sense of joy, or being who you are could be a sense of joy. The other side to that particular coin is, what do you have to lose if you don't have enthusiasm in your life? You know, what do you stand to lose? What if you have, if what you stand to lose could be something that's very dear to you? So that other side of the coin can also be utilized. But to me, it's all about if you have answered that phone that has been ringing only for you, it's going to be much easier to stay enthusiastic about the things that you do because you know you're doing what is right for you.
Right.
Not what's right for others, but what's right for you. So that keeps you very enthusiastic and motivated.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense to me. So, Allie, tell me, what is the power of five?
Oh, my God.
did I open up a whole new
topic? Oh, my God. I may not stop talking for a while.
I was looking at that on a couple of your websites and went, wow, there's a question. I need to know what that is.
That is an amazing program, if I may say so myself. I'm not big on modesty.
You and me, look, I don't even bother to tell people I'm humble. I'm good at what I do, and I'm proud to say so. And I tell them I'm not humble, so this is who you get.
Exactly. We're talking the same language.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something, again, that came to me as I was helping many clients do many things, and especially the ones a couple of years, because, you know, rebuilding after hurricanes take a long time, and I hope most of the nation have seen what's happened with Katrina, and it's a long, long-term rebuilding. And this was a couple of years after some of my clients, and I'm talking locally, obviously, right?
Right.
We're in the process of rebuilding, that I'm saying, okay, you know, I started to survey what are some of the things that are really kicking in for them. Then I gather all of that information, and then I applied it to myself. Well, wait a minute, how will this work for me? All right, because I'm also not only helping them rebuild, but I'm also in the process of rebuilding myself, right? So that's how my now famous or infamous Power of Five came to light. And it's based on what I call the five P's that really help you attain the things that you want in life. Again, it takes you eventually to that wonderful lifestyle to match. And the first one starts with passion. You got to have passion for what you do. I don't care if what you do is selling bananas in a corner for a nickel. If you're passionate about it, geez, you know, you got to make.
Right.
You got to make. The second thing is having a sense of pride. And by that I mean the true sense of pride, not the other one that people say, oh, that's a sin. No, I'm talking about being very proud about who you are, what you do, and who you serve. Even being proud about your mistakes, even being proud about your losses, even being proud about the things that maybe you're not so proud about, why not? The minute you own up to them, be proud, be very proud. So that's the second P in the Power of Five. And the third one is purpose. Once you really know your passion, once you're very proud of whatever that passion is for whatever who you are, what you do, and who you serve, what is the purpose? Why are you doing what you're doing? And who are you doing it for? Then that brings you to whatever you're doing, you got to do it also for the money. You have to have that sense. Yes, absolutely.
But that can't be your primary. And I tell this to people all the time, and they think I'm nuts. That cannot be your primary business for going into business. Not the way we do business. It can't be. I mean, certainly you want to make money. Certainly you want to have the lifestyle that you dream of. But if that's your primary reason, you're not going to win. You're not going to get where you need to be. Because people will smell that. They'll know that all you're in it is you're not there to help them. You just want their money.
Well, that's why I'm saying you got to go through your passion, you got to go through your pride, mm-hmm. you got to go through your purpose in order for you to get to your sense of profit.
Right.
When you're in business, again, whether it's your own business or somebody else's business, if you're responsible for the success of a business, you got to know, you have to have that sense of profit. You got to have the ownership that anything and everything that you do for yourself and for the company, whether it's yours or somebody else, is for a profit. And you have to own up to the joy of making money, of putting that, whatever your profit margin is, whatever you want it to be, that's what's going to allow you to have the, you know, the lifestyle that you want to make, that, that for your children, for your family, for your community, for your global contribution. I mean, it's what, in a way, allows you to help a lot of other people at a much global scale.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last power of five is your sense of perception. Once you put all of these, the first four together, then you can really look at things for as your own reality, not somebody else's, but your own reality, and you, because perception can be your best friend if you know how to utilize it.
Right.
And then you put everything into your own perception and you become a master of meaning. You really become, you get to understand, because everything in life is about mastering something, you know, become a master at something.
Mm-hmm.
And you become a master of your own perception of how you give meaning to things. And once you own up to all of that, voila, you got the power of five. And they're all business building steps.
Right.
And right now, actually, I have that program that begins Wednesday of next week.
I was going to say, where is it? Visionforsuccess.biz?
Yes.
I'm putting that in the chat room.
Visionforsuccess.biz/calendar.
Oops, I forgot that part. Okay.
Yeah, well, if you just put the word calendars, or else once you get to my site, you click on events, you're going to see it right there. It goes for 5 consecutive Wednesdays, starting next Wednesday at 2 p.m. All the classes are recorded, so everybody gets a copy of the recording. And I encourage everybody, really, it's just so much fun to be there live, getting to know how to apply this particular business building steps that you can utilize, actually, in your life as well. It's just totally amazing. I love that program. I love teaching it. I don't ever get tired of it, because it just continues to evolve into so many different things, and it's just so wonderful to see the benefits that people get. You know, imagine what it's like to live with pride. You know, that no mm-hmm. matter what you do, once you own up to the fact that you have done something with your life, even if other people think that it doesn't amount to much, who cares? It's your own opinion. Again, you go back to the perception.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But you live with that sense of pride, that you're proud of what you have done, what you have accomplished, what you're going to leave behind as your legacy. Because part of being proud is also thinking about the legacy you're leaving behind. How you want to be remembered, it's all part of the mixture. And when you live with that kind of pride that nobody really can knock you down, no matter what, it's a transformation. It's an everlasting.
It's very empowering, because that's how I live my life. I always assume that nobody thinks my thoughts for me but me. I do my own thinking.
Exactly.
And as a result of that, I do my own dreaming, my own musing, you know, my own education, and I am a very, very passionate, very, very happy person, because I quit worrying about what other people think about what I do. As far as, you know, personality goes, I will think my own thoughts and I will create my own dreams, and I'm happy to bring people along with me. I invite them for the ride, but I'm not going to give up what I think because somebody else might have a different opinion. It's not going to happen.
No, that's what I'm talking about, you know, ownership. Own
mm-hmm.
up. Own it up. Own up your passion. I mean, it's yours. It's uniquely yours.
Absolutely.
And have fun with it. And be proud of it.
Oh,
you know?
Absolutely.
Be
you know,
proud
you have
of
to
it.
Just live your own life. You are unique. You are you. Nobody else can be you.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, for some people, well, prana, and you're supposed to be home, but, I mean, that can open up, you know, other avenues. But listen, this is, again, to each its own. I mean, my programs and my personality, who I am, it calls to a lot of people. I may not call for, you know, for others, mm-hmm. and that's fine. I believe in uniqueness. I believe in that we all have a purpose here. And there.
Yeah.
And that it's amazing when we appreciate or when we are in a state of appreciation for the opportunity. For the opportunity not only to be here, to live a life, to have a life, to love a life, but to be able to be of service. Oh, my God, you know.
Yeah. It does make a big, big difference.
To me, it's just one of those things that it's more than a blessing. Again, it's kind of the gift that keeps on giving. You know, when we're talking about me being a passionista, one of the things that I thought about a lot a while back, it was that, you know, a lot of us fall in love or are in love. Others are in lust.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's how about being in passion? You know,
right.
When you're in passion, a lot of the others of being in love comes so natural. It's so easy because you just feel, you're just full of amazing emotions that are always going to keep that light going. It may flicker at times, but it's never going to go out.
Right.
And that is the trick to it. And when you're in passion, unlike when you're in love, but when you're in passion, you have an expectation to win.
Mm-hmm.
It just changes dramatically the entire landscape of your life.
Well, I think it changes you physically as well.
Exactly. Absolutely. See, you have an expectation to win, and
mm-hmm.
when you win, you feel good, right? So that immediately puts you into a state of an expectation to love, to live, to enjoy, and everything changes. So to
mm-hmm.
me, being in passion is almost more important than being in love.
I agree. Absolutely.
There you go.
I absolutely agree with that. Listen, I know you have a really busy coaching practice. What do you say to the overwhelmed entrepreneur, and gosh, there's a lot of them, that just has way too many things to do and not enough time? What do you tell those people?
I tell them two things. One, whatever you're saying yes to, you're saying no to something else. So decide as to what are the things that you want to say yes to for sure that you want to keep in your life, and then decide to say no to those that are not going to serve you whatsoever. And then the second thing I say, and it's totally contradictory, all right, is then do more of what you're doing rather than do less.
And you see, I understand that. Years ago, a very elderly, very tiny little man told me something. I thought he was bonkers. I thought the little guy was just out of his mind. And I can't even remember what the conversation was all about, but this little guy pops into my head every day of my adult life. And what he said to me was so simple, and it was so profound that I immediately dismissed it. I didn't believe a word of it. But what he told me was never, if you need something done, if you need a favor, always, always ask a busy person to help you. Always. And I thought, well, that doesn't even make sense. But it does now.
Uh-huh.
And I remember looking at this poor little guy like, yeah, right, come on. And you know, I'm sure he passed away not too long after that. He was quite elderly, and he was very wise, and I was very young and quite stupid. And I never was able to apologize for an insult that I never even offered him. I just thought it. But he is in my head every day.
He's right.
Always ask a busy person to help you because they're engaged, they're passionate, they're excited, they're in motion. Somebody who's leaning on the street lamp is not going to help you.
It is not going to help you. And that is something that being in passion allows your physical body to do as well. It helps with keeping that balance between your intellect, your emotions, and your intuition. because sometimes they might be at odds with each other, and and being impassioned, the same thing when I was talking about even, you know, making a friend out of fear, even if for 10 minutes, gives you a sense of balance to this other triad that we all need to have in our lives. We all have them for one. I mean, we're born with it. Knowing how to balance them, that's another story. So being in passion, oh, gosh, it really, really is. It's just as good, if not better, than being in love. Because it allows you to look forward, right? It allows you to feel so many different things and to feel alive.
Absolutely. Well, and if you don't have that, you're just kind of sleepwalking through your day, and that's why would anybody want to do that?
Well, a lot of people do because, well, there's so many reasons why, but one of them is when you're overwhelmed and you haven't put yourself first as a priority, and you might be brilliant, you might be, you know, at a high-end position in the business world. However, and it happens to all of us. It happens to all of us at one given point or another where we begin to take care of other things before we take care of ourselves. So when we forget to prioritize ourselves first as to what's going to serve my needs first, it's very easy to start walking around like a zombie and start doing things repetitiously without thinking as to what that's going to bring for us.
Right. Women tend to be the most guilty of that, I find, because we're always taking care of other people. Listen, we are actually out of time on the show, but I do have a couple of callers on the line.
Wonderful.
So if anybody has any questions for Allie, this is a great time to ask them. So this is Denise Griffiths. I'm here with Allie Rodriguez. Do you have a question? Hello? Well, maybe they're not on the line. I see five callers on the line, but nobody's answering, so we may have lost them.
Are they on mute?
Is anybody there? Do you have a question for Allie? Apparently not.
Well, otherwise, what they can do is just send me an email at Allie, A-L-I, at visionforsuccess.biz. That is V-I-S-I-O-N-F-O-R, success, S-U-C-C-E-S-S, dot biz. And I'd be happy to answer any of their questions. In the interim, also visit my website, my blog. It's all at visionforsuccess.biz, and if you put /forward calendar, you'll be able to see my beautiful, wonderful, that I'm so proud of, Power 5 program, among many. That's just one that I got going now because that's just an amazing program. Like I said, I never get tired of it.
One starts when? Next week?
Next Wednesday, yes, at 2 p.m.
Okay.
When you visit this /forward calendar, or if you click on the events tab, you're going to be able to see it. It's right there. It's the first thing that comes up for the visitors. So, again, it's visionforsuccess.biz. And my telephone number is area code 386-615-6282. So they can always call me.
Okay. Say that number again.
Area code 386-615-6282.
Okay. Just make sure everybody had a chance to write that down.
Yes.
Okay.
One easy way to remember, actually, the number, the area code 386, if you spell it out with words, it spells out fun, F-U-N.
Now, did you find the time to figure that out?
Well, you know, it was one of those things that I said, geez, I could have designed that one, and it was just perfect. So,
it's
amazing. You connect fun with 615-6282, you get Ali Rodriguez, your business coach of choice.
There you go.
Denise, it has been a pleasure. You're a darling. This has been most enjoyable.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you were able to join us here today. You've given some really great advice to our listeners, and I hope our listeners will go over and take a look at the Power of Five. I know I'm going to. So thank you so much for being here with me today, Allie.
Absolutely,
and
Denise.
The show is going to be available for download in about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths and Allie Rodriguez wishing you a wonderful weekend, and I will see you next week. Thanks, Allie.
All right. Thank you, Denise. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.